This is Rachel Wilkins, and I was just talking about how God just wants you to himself a little bit longer. So we are moving forward. And then next slide. I just want to talk a little bit about who I am. I was born in Iraq, and we came here when I was like 6 months old. I'm 46 years old.
Turn more lights on.
Sure. I'm 46 years old. I'm a part-time hygienist. I'm also a full-time real estate agent. I'm a stepmom to a 24-year-old son, and I'm a mom to two adorable cats, which I should have put the pictures of everyone up here, but I didn't. I live in Humble, and I love the Lord more than anything. And Linda and I were talking, like, for years, she'd come and get her teeth cleaned, and I would do all the talking because she couldn't talk. We talk about God, like, most of the time. And I was just really in love with God. And once I clung on to that, God just wants me to himself a little bit longer. It really permeated with me to know that, all right, I get it. God, you love me so much, and you want me to yourself right now. So I kind of want to know who you all are. I don't know if you all know each other. I think some of you guys do. So if you don't mind just kind of going around the room. Name, where do you live? I just want to know where you live and maybe like a fun fact, favorite movie or something. So let's start with Linda. Okay. All right. So I just want to kind of talk about my plan versus God's plans. My plan was to get married at 23. I got married at 41. My plan was to have kids by 25. I never had kids. And I always, it wasn't my plan, but I always kind of relied on a man to fill that hole in my heart. And God made me whole, which is off the screen, but God eventually just made me whole, which was awesome because I always was like looking for a guy to fill that hole. Like, I need to get married. Like, that's going to make me complete. And that wasn't what made me complete. It was really, truly relying on God and just becoming a whole person. I'll talk more about being whole in a minute. And then, so I want to also talk about who says what? Because when we're single, and, you know, once you hit 30, it's like, oh, you know, everyone has something to say about it. So everyone has an opinion. Who do we need to listen to is what I want to talk about. So we definitely don't want to listen to the enemy because he's a liar. Mm-hmm. And the enemy will say stuff like, you're not good enough. No one will ever love you. If you were blank, then you would find somebody. If you were this, then you know. Or you look at your Facebook friends, and they're all so happy, and they're getting married. And a lot of times, people on Facebook are happy on Facebook, but they're really not happy. And I know through my course of my 30s, I would see people get married, and I'm like, Lord, why? Like, how is everyone getting married? All my friends are getting married, and then like they would get divorced. And then they would get married again. And I'm like, Lord, I mean, I got married once and this person got married twice. What's going on? You know, but I was just like, I just kept going back to like, okay, God, you just want me yourself a little bit longer. Maybe you're working on my husband. It's fine. I'm ready, but whatever. And then I also put, like, be careful who you allow to speak into your life or whisper in your ear. That's huge because a lot of people will whisper things that are not true. Like, just be careful who you allow to speak into your life. I allowed Linda to speak into my life because I knew she was coming from a place where it was true and it was spirit-led. And I just say, be careful, like, don't let Facebook people speak into your life. Don't let social media, don't let society, you know. So just be careful who you let speak into your life. But the enemy is a liar. Amen?
Amen.
and then this is things people say. When you stop looking, he will come.
Raise your hand if you have heard this.
Okay, that was so annoying to me because I wasn't looking. I was literally celibate and like, I'm not even looking. I'm just following, doing God's work. Heard that all the time. So that is like so annoying. But thank you for your opinion. Why are you still single? I don't know. I mean, I wish I knew the answer to that. Like, really? Yeah. And then my favorite is, oh, you must be really picky.
Every time.
You must be really picky. If he loves the Lord, has a heartbeat, how am I picky? I mean, really? Seriously? I don't understand. Like, that's all I wanted, right? So, yeah. Don't listen to those people, okay? So what a wise person says, and one of the things Linda told me in the dental chair when I let her talk for a minute, was God's plan is always better than we can ever comprehend or imagine. And that just spoke to me, like, amazingly, because I'm like, okay, because my plan was married at 23, have kids at 25, but God's plan is better and more amazing than we could ever imagine. And I truly clung on to that and believed it, and it was better than I could have ever done myself. and then also, God knows the desires of your heart. Like, he knows that he loves you. And just like a human father, even more so God, our Father, wants to give his kids good gifts, you know? And so that's truth right there. That's what a wise person would say. And this is your time to focus on you, like, while you're walking out your singlehood. Because I don't believe you'll be single forever. It's just while you're walking it out, like, this is the time to focus on you. And then I just want to talk about what God says about you. You are so precious to me. You are worthy and valued. I see your faithfulness, and you make me proud. And anytime you hear anything not, like, negative, like, oh, you're just this or you're just that, you're like, the negative stuff, that's not from God. Because God truly loves us and wants the best for us, you know? So I just want to tell you a little bit about my story. So once again, I was single in my 30s. I had some crazy, I went on eHarmony and did all that. I don't know what kind of single stuff they have now, but did they still have eHarmony out there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And so I did eHarmony. I went on some interesting dates, and I remember one of the guys I was dating for like 2 years. I just was like, Lord, something's weird. Like, he put in my heart something was weird about this guy. But we were celibate. We didn't do anything. And I was like, all right, God, I know you're telling me not to be with this guy, but I just feel like I need a sign. Like, give me a sign, Lord. I need a sign. And so I remember, I met him on eHarmony. I remember that night, he's like, we were talking. I was like, you know, are you dating anybody else on eHarmony? And he goes, no, Rachel, I would never do that. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let me, why don't you pull up your laptop and just show me, like, your account? And he's like, no, you know, you don't need to do that. And I'm like, well, what's your password? You can just give me your password. Anyways, long story short, he gave me his password by mistake, told me it was his birthday. I didn't believe him. The next night, he had to hang up suddenly at 9:30, and I was like, huh. So I went in there, checked, and it was his birthday, which was, I was like, wow, oh my God. And he, I'm like, who makes their password their birthday? But okay, great. So I went through, and he had to call somebody at 9:30. So he was totally, like, seeing all these other girls, and I was like, all right, God, wow. I get it. That's my sign. He was a youth pastor somewhere in here in San Diego, not here anymore. But it was just like, he was the perfect person for me, at least I thought, you know, but I was trying so hard to make things happen. After that, I was like, I'm done, Lord, I'm waiting for you. Let me know when I'm supposed to start looking, you know? So I went about 4 or 5 years and just kind of just walked my walk and just served in children's ministry, served in women's ministry. And I'm like, all right, God, I'm never going to meet my man at women's ministry. And I'm never going to meet my man at children's ministry. So I need to, like, step out of this ministry. So as I was stepping out, I really felt God tell me, like, your husband's coming. And I was like, okay. All right, Lord, I'm gonna start announcing that. Because if you're telling me that, I'm going to start announcing that. So I had 2 coworkers at the time. I was just doing dental hygiene, and I was like, they were trying to, like, why are you still single? You know, I'm like, I don't know. So they're like trying to, like, think of people they can set me up with, and I'm like, you know, I think my husband's coming. And they're like, okay, Rachel. I'm like, no, I'm serious. He's coming. I'm just letting you know. Letting y'all know he's coming. God told me. But I really felt like God was preparing me to hear him more, because he does speak to us in that small, still voice where it's like, you know, somewhere back here where you're like, where did that come from? I did not just make that up myself, you know? And so anyways, I went on this working interview for a dental hygiene job, and I met this girl there. I didn't end up getting the job, but the girl was, like, insistent about staying in touch with me. And I was like, okay, like, that's cool, let's stay in touch, whatever, whatever. But I had just, like, literally just met her, and I didn't know, like, and she's like, because she heard me talking about God, so she's like, I'm Christian, too, I really need to connect, you gotta come over for dinner, and I'm like, okay, cool, like, oh, you're Christian, awesome. So at the same time is when God was telling me my husband's coming, and I was like, okay, so then I...
And it was a mistake, wasn't it? They had already hired someone.
The moment I, this is crazy, because I, like, literally risked my job, and I was supporting myself single, bought a home and all that, it's crazy, risked my job to tell him I can't come in tomorrow to take this working, quote, working interview.
Oh, my goodness.
The doctor saw me and said, I didn't know this was happening, told the receptionist to go hire the person they interviewed yesterday. I hadn't even seen one patient. And the enemy talked about lies that day. Oh, he saw you and he was like, I don't want to hire her. You know what I mean? Lies from the devil. Don't listen to them, ladies. I promise you they're lies. Anyway, so I met this girl and we stayed in touch. But I was like, yeah, I really feel my husband's coming. I was announcing it to everyone. But I knew he wasn't going to drop from the sky to my front door. Because it hadn't happened yet. So I was like, okay. So I got on eHarmony again. I'm going to get on eHarmony because he's coming and I got to meet him because he's coming. God told me so. He okayed me doing this. So I go on eHarmony and I'm like, I think I had gone on 2 dates. The first one, it was really weird. He went to hug me after. I was like, thank you. Great to meet you. You want to go to dinner? No, I'm good. Thank you. It was one of those dates, you know. I'm like, okay, bye. The second one was interesting. And my friend from that office, Lori, she kept like, how'd it go? How was your date? Da-da-da. She's like, and whatever. And then I was like, okay, so the second date, she's like, let me know how it goes. So I went on this date. He lived in Anaheim. We met like in Oceanside. And he was like, so we were talking about red flags. And he was like, yeah, I just feel like there's some red flags with you. That's what he told me.
No.
And I said, okay. And then I go, what are my red flags? He's like, yeah, I really don't want to say. I'm like, no, you really need to say. Like, what are my red flags, you know? And so he's like, you just don't look like your eHarmony pictures. Like, meaning my weight is what he meant. Yeah. And I said, okay, big red flag for you, pretty much, because we're not going to see each other again, you know? And I was just like, wow. Like, somebody can actually say that to you, you know? It didn't break my heart because God was preparing me so well at this point where I knew, it was like, I know I'm worthy.
Yeah.
I know you love me, and I know I am precious to you, and I'm your princess. So I was just like, okay, yeah, we're not going on a date. So I left that date. I call that girl from the dental office because she wants to know how my dates are going. And I'm like, hey, girl, you know what? This guy was crazy. He was like, tell me this and that. She's like, okay, Rachel, I've been trying to get you. And I was heavy involved in ministry. So I had no time to go to her house. She kept inviting me every day. And I was like, I can't because I have the women's retreat that I'm doing like this and this and this. I had so much going on at my church doing all that. And she's like, okay, Rachel, I can't wait any longer. Can I introduce you to somebody? And I was like, really? Because normally I am like private eye investigator. I like see, I know the end of the movie before it happens. And I'm always like trying to like figure it out. This came out of nowhere. And that's when I knew it was God. Because I was like, how did I not see that? She all of a sudden wants to stay in touch. And she's trying to, you know, like, how did I not like figure that out? Because I'm like, I'm telling you guys, like I watch a movie and I'm like, tell my husband, I'm like, shh, shh, shh. This is what's going to happen. I was like, that's how I am. So I knew that was from God. I was like, oh my God, I get it. Okay, Lord, all right. I said, yeah, of course, just give him my number. You know, call me right away. And I'm talking to him, and she had sent me a picture of him. And I call him right away, and I'm talking to him, and then I said, hey, so, you know, Lori sent me a picture. And I have I'm sure she sent you the picture of me. And he goes, no, she didn't send me a picture. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I don't want any surprises or red flags. So let me just send you a picture of me. So I go, okay, let me go ahead and send you a picture. He's like, no, I don't really need a picture. You sound like an amazing woman. And that's all I care about.
Aww. Oh my God.
That was the next day after this date that I had. Okay, guys.
Wow.
Like, God was preparing me, even through those dates, to go, this is what a scumbag looks like, yeah. but this is what I have for you. I mean, I knew after that first phone call, I knew the moment she's like, I want to introduce somebody. I was like, when it came out of nowhere, I was like, wow, okay, God, I know, it's you. I knew at that moment this was going to be my husband. And so we went on our first date.
And we're how old at this time?
I was 40. Yeah, I was 40. That was a big number to turn still single. But you know what? I just like, whatever, it's all good. You know, I'm just walking my walk and doing what I need to do. And a thing I used to tell myself when I was single through my 30s was, am I going to get to heaven in like this short a time when life is like this, in that small time that I'm on earth? Am I going to get to heaven and say, Lord, I didn't get married, I didn't have kids, I want to go back down to earth? Like, I don't think so. You know? I used to tell myself that all the time, Lord, I'm not going to go, like, you know, because some people don't make it past 6 months. You know, some people, like Kobe's daughter, 13, she never got married, never had kids. You know what I mean? So the fact that I'm living still, I'm blessed. Yeah. I'm blessed that I'm alive. I'm blessed that I get to talk to you guys. I'm blessed that I get to, you know, God wants me here still for whatever reason. Thank you, Lord. You know, so we're still here and it's a blessing. But anyway, so then we meet up and he said he drove away and I drove away. And we're both like, oh my God, this is the one for me. Mm-hmm. So I say that saying, like, everyone's story is different. Everyone's story is unique. That's my story.
Well, don't you think this is the one for me?
What made me think?
Yeah.
Oh, he just had the best heart. He was so kind. You know, I could see his heart right away. Mm-hmm. I just knew. And just based on everything that God was doing at that point, I just knew. And he drove away. He said he drove away going, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and I was like, that's awesome. Like, we talked about it later. Like, we wanted to get married, like, 2 weeks later. And everyone's like, no, no, no. Don't do it. And I was like, okay. So we waited, and we were getting married. So we worked out some things that we had to work out, because I'm glad we didn't get married right away. Some things came out that we needed to work through, which was awesome. So listen to the people in your lives that speak wisdom into you. Not the liars, not the naysayers, but people that speak wisdom to you, like, if they say, wait, like, really wait, because I'm so glad we did, you know. But I was going to say, everyone's story is unique. That's my story. Your story may be, you may already have met your spouse. You just don't know. You may be working with them. They may be walking past you in church. They may be your neighbor. Just know that your story is still developing, you know. And you might have already met them, for all we know. You know, God knows. But I encourage you to pray for signs, especially because God does give signs, you know? And then I just want to talk about whole, holy. These are some phases that we go through, and I feel like we go through these phases even after we're married, even throughout our whole lives, you know? But whole is like when you want to fill that void in your heart with, like, food, sex, drugs, alcohol. Man, I know my big thing was food. If I had a bad day, I just wanted to go eat ice cream. I am going to the yogurt mill. That's what I want if I've had a bad day. But anyways, so it's just filling that empty space with anything that brings false comfort is not a good thing. Just so you know a little bit about me, I was abused my entire life. Sexually, mentally, physically, verbally, by my real father. I was in child labor by the time I was 4 years old. My dad used to have us, you know, coupons in a Sunday paper. Mm-hmm. We'd cut the coupons out. That's all I would do every day after school, from the time I was 4 years old till I left my house. I left at 14 years old. So basically, I would fill my voids with food because that's how I knew to get through days in life, you know? Mm-hmm. I left home at 14. I was actually saved at 14 as well, which was a huge blessing. and then by the time I was 18, I was on my own. So I've been on my own since I was 18. And I still struggle with wanting to fill my life with food sometimes, that void, when I have a hole. Like, mm-hmm. If something goes wrong, I'm a full-time real estate agent. I recently had a client tell me she was thinking about listing her house again with somebody else, and I was like, what? Like, how could this happen to me? Mm-hmm. So then it's just a new kind of stress that I'm not used to, because in dental hygiene, I just clean teeth and then I go home and I'm good. No problems. Like, nobody calls me after, like, my teeth hurt or whatever. Like, it's just great. So this whole new stress is, like, new to me. And I remember I was fasting at the time, just fasting fruits and vegetables, and I was like, oh, Lord, I just want to stop by and get some, like, and I realized, oh, my God, I'm still fighting this little void in my life. You know, like, I don't want to turn to it, but it's hard sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. So just a little, the holes. But God wants to make you whole. And it's so important to try to get as whole as possible before you meet your spouse. So wherever you have those holes, and like I said, I'm still working with the food one, you know, I'm still working that out, but I'm thankful to have such an amazing husband by my side that supports me and loves me and doesn't care what I look like. Like, he just loves me the way I am. So I'm thankful for that. But I mean, when they say, like, because I remember hearing, like, you don't want to go into a relationship broken, because, and especially if the other person's broken, like, you want to try to go in whole in a relationship. That makes sense. You have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I think in your singleness, it's sometimes I want to bring in, like, four married people who have a horrible marriage, just to, for them to tell you, hey, this is what I'm going through, and you guys begin to go, oh, like having a guy isn't going to fix everything. You know, you guys go, well, I don't actually want to get married anymore. So because there is that part where, you know, a really good marriage is a rare thing, because people come in broken and they're trying to get something from the other person you can only get from God.
Absolutely.
And in your singleness, this is the time, go to counseling. Yeah. Say, hey, my dad did what he shouldn't have done. Mm-hmm. Help me figure this out. Because as you're fixing, you're going to get happier and happier. And there's never, or education, what do you want to be? Mm-hmm. Do it now, because it's really hard to do it later on when you've got a spouse and then the kids come and it's complicated. There's a lot to do right now if you're not just being scared. When? Well, go have a big life, but go to counseling. Mm-hmm. Ask your parents, what should I go to counseling for? Ask your friend. Yeah. Right? Get a trusted friend. Do I need counseling? Friend. They'll probably go, yeah. Sometimes it takes the marriage where you go, oh, I'm broken. Like, because all of a sudden your life is completely open to someone else where it hasn't been. If you don't like someone, you can just walk away.
Yep.
Right now you just go, I don't like you, you don't like me, so I don't like you.
Yeah.
And you leave.
Yeah.
But in a marriage, there's something he doesn't like about me because I probably need to change and grow in beauty and grace.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do that now, and it'll also help you recognize a good man when that time.
Absolutely. And while you were talking, I thought about identity. Like, our identity needs to be in Christ. Because a lot of women that do get married really young that are not, don't even know themselves, lose their identity to their husbands a lot of times.
Yeah.
And so it's good to know your identity in Christ before you even meet the guy. You got to meet him. Just telling you. All right.
95% of women get married and have children.
95. Just keep your eyes on him. God is such a gentleman. He doesn't break down the door to get in. Revelations 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. It's like, God doesn't be like, hey, I'm coming in. Or, you know, I mean, he's knocking. Like, hey. So just stay focused on God in your process of getting holy, you know? I made a little acronym called HOPE, and I just want to kind of go over that: heart, outside, prayer, endurance. And these things will help to prepare you in that process. So heart is, how do you see yourself? What I always would ask myself is, Lord, I'd close my eyes in front of the mirror, because the devil likes to tell you lies, and you just look at yourself. Sometimes you're like, I don't like what the mirror's reflecting back to me. For whatever reason that day, you might feel that way. Just close your eyes and just say, Lord, show me how you see me, Lord. And it really does work. I mean, I like look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, you're beautiful. Because God sees me as beautiful. And when you ask God to show you how he sees you, you're going to see an amazing reflection back. I promise you guys. Once again, everyone has an opinion. Don't let society dictate what you should be, when you should be, any of that. Everyone has an opinion, okay? But God's timing is perfect, better than we can ever imagine. I put for outside, because I started saying yes once God told me my husband's coming. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll go to this thing. And then I'd be like, But I am like the biggest hermit. Like, I want to go from work to home, from home to work. I'll go to the grocery store for a second, but like, I just want to be home all the time. I find comfort in that, you know? But really, I just want to encourage you guys, get out there. Get out and talk to people. Social media. Show people that you exist, right? Because he's not going to drop down from the sky. I make a joke about that, but like, literally, he won't. Well, he might, but it didn't happen for me. I don't know. Maybe it'll happen for you guys. P is for prayer, obviously. Pray daily for yourself and others. It's so empowering to pray for others as well as yourselves. And so because you guys signed in, I'm going to be praying for you guys. And I just want, like, feedback. Like, when you guys meet somebody, like, I want to keep you guys in prayer as well, you know. Pray for signs. I talked about that. Ask God specifics. Like for me with that one guy, I was like, Lord, I need a sign. You're telling me not to go back to his house ever again, but I need a sign. And, I mean, you couldn't get clearer than him talking to, like, 20 different women. That was, okay, I got that sign. I'm good. And also pray for your future spouse. Like, whoever that is, like, pray for that future spouse. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, I'm just going to take a second just to pray right now for your future spouses. Lord, I just thank you so much, God, that you have designed these beautiful women fearfully and wonderfully. And Lord, I just pray over each one right now, God. I just pray that you continue just to develop who their spouse is, God. I pray that you put in their heart to just continue to pray for that person, Lord. You know who it is, God. I just pray for a sign for each one of them when they meet that person, or if they already met them, Lord, and they just don't know, God. I pray that you reveal that to them, Lord. We love you, God. We just thank you so much for your faithfulness, God. You've never let us down. We just love you and praise you. And I just pray over each one of these ladies, Lord, that you continue just to give them patience and perseverance. And just, God, I pray that each one of these ladies knows how much you love them, Lord. I just pray that you just flood them, overflow with your love, Lord. We just thank you, God, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All righty. And endurance. Life is a marathon. Just don't look to your right or your left. And they even said that when we went to marriage counseling. My husband and I are like, don't look at your neighbor's house or your neighbor's car, because then you're going to be unhappy. Like, just keep looking straight ahead, you know? And this is a picture of, obviously, Michael Phelps, and that guy was like, could have probably won the race, but he was too busy looking at Michael Phelps. You know? So we want to make sure we just stay laser focused on the path that God has us on. Wait, what? What's funny? I want to know.
I made a comment. Oh.
All right, and then I had this little video I want to show you guys real quick. I'm sure you guys have seen it, but let me just try to get it over here. I love this video. Francis Chan.
It's like the first illustration I did. It was 20 years ago, but I can't think of a better way to explain it. I actually didn't use a rope back then. I used remember computer paper when it was all stuck together and it had the holes on the side that you had to peel off? Remember that? I remember getting a roll. Some of you guys have no idea what I'm talking about, which is crazy to me. But because that was the best, you know, and it never worked right because the rolling things. But I remember being a youth pastor and I put that computer paper all the way around the room, but I'm going to use a rope now because I can't find that computer paper. Imagine this rope. Okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Okay, just imagination. Pretend it goes around the world a few times. It doesn't. It ends at the rock. But let's just imagine this thing goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on earth. You've got a few short years here on earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. This is your existence. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to save so I can really enjoy this part right here. You're consumed with that. You're thinking, oh man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to eat well? Am I going to do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about this? What about that? What about all this stuff that's just, it's crazy to me, because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. See, I'm going to forget about all the stuff I could enjoy, and I'm not going to look around. I'm going to be like a runner, just looking at that moment when I face God, because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity. And I'm not going to be fooled. I'm not going to spend my life down here. See, people look at some of my decisions and go, oh, you're so stupid because that's going to really affect this. I go, no, you're stupid because it's going to affect all of this. Man, I'm serious. I look at the way people live and I go, wow, that is so crazy. You are so crazy. You're gonna do that right now, just to enjoy right now, not even knowing if you have tomorrow, and you think that's smart and that I'm dumb, it doesn't make any sense. Paul goes, I'm not going to look around at all this stuff. And it's tempting. It's tempting to all of us. That's what I'm saying. Down here, it's crazy because everyone lives that way. Everyone lives for the red part. No one's thinking about the millions of years afterwards. It's just this crazy deception that we can't get out of our minds. And Paul goes, I'm not doing that. Because I keep my eyes on that. I keep my eyes on that finish line. And I'm going to forget what's behind me. I'm not looking around. I'm straining. Because I'm straining forward. I'm like stretching forward for that mark. I'm going to pass this thing. I'm going to live this out. And I'm going to face him. I'm going to come before the judges. And he's going to hand me that trophy. He goes, I'm going to get it. And I haven't gotten there yet. He goes, but you better believe I'm using every muscle, exerting every bit about me. Because I'm going to pass that line well.
So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. I don't know what happened to my thing, but no. But that was almost the end. Let me see. Okay, so I'll just pull this over here. I just want to let you know it's worth the wait, you guys. And I put in there almost happily married for 6 years because we're almost happily married for 6 years because you're not always happily married. I'm sorry. It's like, it's just not going to happen with anybody. You're going to go through ups and downs. We went through trials even in the last month, even the last day. I mean, it happens all the time. But because we're both believers, I mean, I can't emphasize that enough. I can't imagine ever being married to somebody that's not a believer. It just that was not even a thought in my mind. It's like, oh, are they Christian? No. Okay, no thanks. Oh, but they're the, no. No, I never even compromised on that because there, I knew in my heart there's no way. I've heard way too many stories about how marriage is hard, and I believe it, and I'm living it, and I can't imagine not having a person that has that accountability with the Lord, you know? But definitely worth the wait. And, you know, when Francis Chan was talking, I love that little clip. But God wants us to be happy. He wants us to have good things in this world. But we sometimes only focus on that red, right? And I guess what that speaks to me is that we, you know, as you're walking out your life in general, we just, as long as we're focused on him, you know, I think that's the most important thing, no matter what, no matter whether you're single, married, have kids, don't have kids, all of that. yeah, as long as you stay focused on him, that's key. So that's it, all I have. And I just wanted to ask you guys if you have any questions. Any questions from anybody?
Yeah, why don't you tell us a little bit about your husband was like? Where was he in his life? So you were 40.
Mm-hmm.
What was...
Great. Yeah, I've told my husband, God, I wish I would have met you when I was in my 20s, you know, because I'm going to have kids. And all that. He had a rough life growing up. He was kicked out when he was 14, kind of similar to me, like kind of left home around 14. He lived on the streets. He got involved in meth. He was doing drugs for most of his 20s, so I probably wouldn't have liked him then anyways, most likely. I absolutely wouldn't have liked that. So yeah, I just, like, he went through a lot. And so when he met me, he had been clean for a couple years, and he had been single and waiting for the right woman. So it was just like God
had
was...
Had he ever been married?
He had been, yeah.
And any children?
So the 24-year-old that I have is my stepson, yeah. Which that was, yeah. It's tough being a step-parent, but it's definitely a blessing that I have the opportunity. You know, it was just, because he was 17 when we met, it was a little different because, you know, 17-year-olds have their own mind. but no, he's always so supportive. One thing I did want to mention now that you brought that to my attention was, the guy that I went on a date with the day before I met my husband, I sent him an email that said, because he wanted to go on another date. I'm like, really? Red flag, but okay, whatever. So I told him, I'm like, no, I said, I don't think so. I said, my husband will be somebody that builds me up and in life. And you didn't. So, no, I will not marry anybody that tears me down. Like, that's, my husband has never, ever torn me down. Never. He's only built me up. Babe, you're beautiful. Babe, I'm so amazed by you. Babe, this, like, everything is, like, just uplifting. I can't believe what you do this, and I can't believe you can do that. And, like, you know, I got my real estate license in 3 months. He's like, I can't believe you did that in 3 months. And just, like, anything I do, he's just, like, so supportive and just builds me up constantly. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, honestly, you deserve that. You guys are all amazing individuals. Like, you deserve somebody that's going to build you up in life. You know, so I honestly would rather be single any day than be with anybody that tears me down. Mm-hmm. I'll take singlehood any day over that. So, yeah. Any other questions or anything? Quiet bunch.
I'll ask a question.
Yeah.
When you went through, you talked about how you went through relationships that didn't work.
Yeah.
How did you process through those emotions and get back to your place of wholeness?
Great question. Cried a lot. A lot. I'm a crier. And just like, I just kept praying and just reached out to friends that I knew spoke wisdom to me. Like when I say be careful who speaks into your life, I truly mean that, because some people will speak just not good things in your life. And those people that do that, just don't listen to them. But I would reach out to my friends that I know cared about me, and they would, you know, encourage me. So I definitely having some accountability with friends was huge. That was a huge impact on becoming whole again. But God focused is key, you know. Yeah. But yeah, it's okay to cry. Mm-hmm. I mean, right?
Yeah.
So, Tammy?
Yeah, how I'm 30, single, I've been through a couple hard breakups, and I have a twin sister, and she's been married for 9 years this mm-hmm. year, and so, and like most of my, you know, close friends are married and things like that, so how did you still celebrate their things, but still, you know, like still celebrate them while walking through something that you want to have but don't?
Yeah. That's a good question. I honestly can't emphasize enough just staying focused on the Lord, because nothing else really mattered that was going on around me. I didn't have what we have now with Facebook and all that, like in my early 30s, early 20s, we didn't have that. Now I'm once that started, I was like, oh my God, it's horrible. And I was still single while that started. I was like, this is crazy. But I like had like went through that even before that.
So what, maybe, because I, like practical, how do you surrender that to the Lord then?
Yeah.
Like, what, you know, what sort of prayers did you pray? Or like, where did you, what scriptures did you go to help surrender?
Great question. You know, I like I said in the beginning, the little bit longer thing really stuck out to me. Like God just wants me to Himself. Just not looking to your right or left again. Once again, it's hard because you want to be like, well, okay, I'm supposed to celebrate this, but and just doing things that make you happy, I think, is key. Like, you know, if you like to hike, do it more. If you like to go get coffee with a friend, those are things that. When you get married, like my husband's like, where are you going? And I'm like, I have to tell him everywhere I'm going now. That was all new to me. I was like, I'm going hiking. What do you mean? Like when we first got married, he's like, okay, bye. Like, but you know, enjoy that time where you can just do whatever your heart desires right
now. And the truth is, I have so many women coming to me crying. Nobody invites me to anything. And I think every woman's out there saying that. And I just you invite them, like you guys,
yes,
invite people. People want to be invited to do things.
Yeah.
So if you say no, if you say they're not interested or don't pursue those relationships, but girls are waiting around all the time to get invited to do something. Just call them. What are you doing? Stop calling the ones that never want to come. Find the ones that do, and make friends that way. Believe me, they're sitting there. You're looking across the room thinking, they are all friends, they don't want me. And the truth is, maybe three of them are really connected. Don't go for the groups that are already super connected and there's no room for another connection. That's just an exercise of defeat. Go to the ones that are not. Just say, what are you doing? Why don't we go? And then the next day say, who else should we invite? And pretty soon people are going to be jealous of you. And they're saying, well, how do we get in their group?
Mm-hmm. And talk to people, like when you go hiking, like, hey, good morning. I mean, just talk to people. We're so kind of like, we're laser focused on whoever we're with, but also just talk to people. And on social media, you know, with real estate, we have to like do social media. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I wish I could just delete my Facebook, to be honest, sometimes, but it's because you have to let people know that you're out there, that you're working, that you're a realtor. Like, so you have to let people know that you're, hey, I'm Sammy. Hey, I'm Sammy Hiking. You know? It's just, I'm just saying, I know that sounds silly, but it's the truth, because there's going to be somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that's going to be like, hey, Sammy looks cool. She hikes all the time. You know what I mean?
Two things. Cultivate is doing a hiking activity tomorrow, which is 24 through 25 or 25 through 35. They just went. Second, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
So
that's for you, I think.
Yeah. Throw that out there. So what were you doing when God spoke to you, he's coming? What were you doing? Like in that moment, what were you doing when he spoke to you?
I don't even know. I might have just been praying, and then I just heard that small still voice, and of course I didn't hear it just once. It was like, I was like, okay, all right, whatever. Like, I just made that up, I think. And then I heard it again, and I was just like, kind of like Samuel, the story of Samuel, where, like, you know, keeps hearing, he thinks he hears, what's his name?
The other God?
One? Yeah.
Yeah.
He thinks he hears, And so, but anyways, he was really hearing God. It was kind of like that, where I heard it, and I'm just like, I ignored it, and then I heard it a second, third time, and I was like, okay, I need to profess this. And tell people about it. So that way I can then really believe it. Because now I'm like, okay, now I have to believe it. Because I'm actually telling people about it. But I honestly don't remember exactly what I was doing. But I know it wasn't just once. I know it was a few times. Recently, I have a hard time sometimes listening to God. I want to, am I just making that up? Mm-hmm. Recently I was at church and my husband and I were going to sit in the back. And I said, well, let's sit closer, hon. So we sat a little bit closer, and this guy and this woman came up and sat next to us, and God said, pray for him. And I said, no, No, Lord, I don't feel like praying today. I mean, I do argue with God a lot. I'm sorry. That's why you had to find a really patient guy for me. So I'm like, no, I don't think so. So the whole time I'm like watching the service and he just keeps telling me to pray for him. I'm like, okay, then pray for him for what? Because I don't want to look stupid. I don't think, he doesn't look like he needs prayer. So then God said, work. And I was like, okay, gave me the word. So service ends, and the way service ends at our church, we all stand up, and then everyone just walks out. That's how we're dismissed. We stand up, we pray, and then everyone just jets. So I was like, how am I going to do this? Because now I feel pressured because God told me to. So I was like, hey! Before I hit up, hey, how's it going? So, yeah, how long have you guys been married? And like going to marriage retreat? I was trying to make small talk just so I can make sure I stop them, and I looked at the guy because he specifically told me to pray for the guy. I said, hey, you know, God, I just really feel like God is telling me to pray for work. I mean, does that make any sense to you? And he goes, and he sat down and just started crying. And so I prayed for work for him. And I was like, all right, Lord, okay. So you speak to us in that small, still voice that you know you didn't come up with. Because you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So listen to that small, still voice. It's there. We all, God speaks to all of us. Sometimes it's run. Don't talk to this person. You know, sometimes it's like you're going to about say something. You might have even said two words and God's like, take it back. Change what you're going to say to something else that you weren't going to say. And you know what I'm talking about? Has that happened to you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Where you're about to go, hey, and then you're like, yes, isn't it crazy, the rain? But, like, that's how God works, because he's like, you're not going to say that. And it's awesome. So God speaks to all of us like that. And so just be listening for that small, still voice. But if he, and ask for signs. I can't emphasize that enough. Like, signs are huge. Like, I'm like, God, give me a sign. Maybe sometimes ask for two. Like, give me two signs. You know? So...
So I have a question kind of about that, because when I was really young, I was like super into just God giving me signs, but I kind of like almost read into too much.
Yeah.
So now I just am like, if I see something, I take note, and it just, I don't rely on that as a sign.
Yeah.
But like, when you say signs, was it something where in your experience you saw those signs and you felt God's like peace about that? Like, where there was something that confirmed that is God?
Yeah, like when I said... when I really thought I was going to marry this youth pastor, mm-hmm. and I felt God telling me no. Like, I literally was driving to his house one day, and God said, turn around and go back home. And I was like, no, Lord. Like, I want to feel loved. He makes me feel loved. This makes me feel good. I want to go to his house. And he's like, turn around, go home. Turn around. I kept hearing that. And once again, I'm arguing with God, and I go there, and I'm like, why do I feel this way? Like, I know it's something serious. Like, I need, bye. If you didn't sign in, please sign in.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so I once again, that was like, okay, God, give me a sign. Like, I need a sign, because in my heart, I want to marry this guy. I think he's the one. He's everything on paper, youth pastor, loves you, everything, you know? And he gave me a sign. Mm-hmm. I looked up his account, and that was my sign. So,
yeah.
You know, he'll reveal things to you if, I'm sure not all the time, you know, but, you know, I would just pray.
You know, she said a question she always asked, look in the mirror and say, what do you see, Lord? Because that's about your identity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add two questions, because Earth is really a school. Like the video you showed, there's that little red piece. Remember Mike did that a long time ago? And in that school time that you have here that prepares you for eternity, there's classes you take. And everyone takes different classes. Mine was, you're going to get married really early, and you're going to be scared and fearful and wish you didn't. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's so funny looking. I had my plans of what I was going to do, and then God says, no, I got a different curriculum. Mm-hmm. You're going to be taking some different classes. So my worries and fears came out in that time, and then I have to begin in there to trust God for my identity, which I says got squashed inside of a husband and children.
Mm-hmm.
And hers is completely free to pursue anything, saying, but where are they? So it's different curriculums, different roads. And the end is the character of God in your soul. As you walk this road, your only joy will ever be dying to yourself and coming alive to Him. Otherwise, you're going to be in fear all the time. So I'm just going to suggest two questions you ask the Lord besides who you see. What do you see? What skill are you going to need from me in the future? God needs skills from you. And what character are you going to need from me? So if you're saying, Lord, what skill? All of a sudden you think, hey, I need to go take that class. You know, I'm single. I can do it. Let's get busy doing things that make me better at certain life skills that seems like God has told me I'm going to need, right? And what character will you need? I mean, you need a ton of love and patience in a marriage. Why don't you get good at what does a guy need from a woman? Like, we're going to have that. The guys are going to talk about, get good at it. Like, there are things that attract a guy that confidence. How does a woman act with confidence? You're around guys. Guys are looking. They may not be, you might not be seeing, but there's a way to act confident and there's a way not. And you, so ask God, what character do you need me to grow in during this time when I'm free to grow in it? Mm-hmm. Ask your friends, what can I get better at? And then say, I know I might cry when you tell me. But, you know, like my husband said, you have a temper. I'm thinking, I don't have a temper for things people should have a temper for.
You have a temper? Wow.
And he looked at That's me and said, really? And I'm thinking, kind of. You should get mad about certain things. And he goes, no. You know, and then, so I'm growing partly through him being disappointed in me. Like, wouldn't it be great to grow before where you don't have to have it? So those are some of the ways, you know, forward for you. If you could say, this is a school and God gave me a different course. Mm-hmm. Than he gave those other people. And when you look at your sister and you think, you can, when they have a, I'm pregnant again, you could say, God bless them and bless me too. Because he doesn't just have enough for Susie. Oh, so sorry, Sammy, Susie got it off. That's all there was, that's all God has, right? So then you can say, oh, I'm happy, I bless you. And then you go around the corner, cry for a minute, go, and bless me too. You have enough for her and enough for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's part of acting in faith.
And to ask him to help me be happy for her right now.
Yeah.
Help me be happy for all my friends that are getting married and engaged. Lord, help me. Help me to love this person. Help me. God does that. He shows up when we ask, you know. I mean, I've never had kids, and I always wanted kids. I feel like I'm really maternal, like I was meant to have kids. Part of me is glad I never had. To be honest, like when I watch my family raise their kids, I'm like, oh my Lord, I'm so glad I didn't have kids. So I think God knew what was best for me. I mean, I know God knew what was best for me, and it wasn't part of his plan for me in my life. As much as I had thought it was and I wished it was, it wasn't, you know, and I'm okay with that. So everyone's like, well, do you think about adopting? I'm like, no. I love my independence. I have so much time to do whatever I want to do, you know, so... But God has time for all of us. So.
Sorry, one more thing.
Yeah.
The part where you just said, like, he is coming, that, like, kind of hit me because my perspective has never been he's coming.
Yeah.
Sorry, that hit me really quickly.
Yeah.
It's kind of like people ask, like, why are you single? Like, where is he? And I'm just kind of like, he's clearly lost somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, my perspective is never he's coming.
Yeah.
And so that really hit me. It's like, well, he is coming, and it doesn't matter if it's 5 years from now or 5 months from now, like he's coming. So.
Well, God knows the desires of your heart. He knows the desires of your heart. He knows you want companionship with a human on earth. And I do believe he'll fulfill the desires of your heart, you know? But like she was saying, like, what's your identity in Christ? Mm-hmm. To try to really figure that out and make sure that you see what God reflects back to you, because he sees a beautiful, beautiful woman that and just so treasure to him. And also to develop those skills. I think that was so awesome because there are skills in, I mean, let me just tell you guys, my skill was to shut down when I first met my husband. As soon as we get in a fight, I would just shut down. I wouldn't talk to him for like 1 or 2 days. That was my coping mechanism. That is not okay. And he taught me to stop doing that. He taught me to like, honey, just leave. You can't just shut down. And so to start learning those things now to work on yourself now is so much better than working on it when you're married, you know. But no, I totally. Do you have anything to add for her?
No.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So you talked about how, you know, you got good about putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
And I love that you said that because I can tell just by the way you talk about it that it wasn't like a distracting thing.
Yeah.
It was a healthy thing. So how did you get in that place where you were healthfully, like, open to it, but you weren't, like, every time you walked into church, you're like...
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That's
yeah.
And how do you do that? Practice?
Yeah, it's just a matter of just being you. God made you like just like talking to anybody like you would talk to your friends, you know, and just hey, good morning. Just being more open to not like okay, this is my seat that I always sit in. I'm gonna sit right here and just put my head down. You know, it's just a matter of like looking around you, like looking behind you, and just hey, how's it going? You know, what do you guys have planned after church today? Oh, wow, cool, yeah, I love hiking. Let's go hiking. You know, where do you go hiking, you know? It's just a matter of just, it's okay to talk to people. I know God knows you're there for him, ultimately. I don't think there should be any guilt with, like, you know, talking to people that are around you, you know?
And so. If you know God loves me, yeah. Even if that person doesn't love me,
yeah.
You say, hey, where are you hiking? Oh, it's a like a closed group, I'm sorry. Don't be rejected.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, that's a shut door. Like, yeah. I'm God loves me. It's okay if they don't want me. I mean, sometimes you're just going to cry because you're getting your mind wrapped around the truth. God likes me, but they don't. But so what? Yeah. Unless I need to change my character. Unless I'm hitting this wall everywhere where nobody likes. We're going to talk a little bit about that tonight, where I'm so needy that people just move away from me. Mm-hmm. Then you need to get some character under you, and we've got many ways to do that. Mm-hmm. But if you just say, hey, it's like a job interview.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you should walk up to every guy around and say, hey, you
know. Hey, I'm here. All right, here's my chair.
When you need a job, you go out and you get rejected. The first time I looked for a job, I'm thinking, this is horrible. I thought it was somebody nobody wants me. You know? You just know, I don't know where, but I'm not going to hide. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hide.
No. I am such a sensitive human being. It's ridiculous. Like, real estate has taught me to toughen up. I'm telling you guys, you knock on a door. First of all, you see people moving inside, and you're like, hello. I see you in there. They don't open. Nobody opens their door now. And then when they do, no thank you, and they just slam the door in your face. And it's so much rejection that it was so hard for me to take in the beginning. But now I'm just like, all right, I don't care anymore. Like, who cares? You're rejected? So what? Move on to the next one. They say in real estate, you go through 98 no's to get to that yes. So like, oh, cool, no, great, moving on. Next no, next no, next no. And I think people are like that too. Like, you might have to go through 10 more to get to that guy that is waiting for you.